fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks. On Friday, the 29th day of June, year of our Lord, 2018, welcome to the John Moore Show. Well, the headline continues to be, in case you have been asleep the past 15, 16 hours, the shooting in Annapolis, Maryland, beautiful town. I visited there, very quaint place. A newspaper, well, 5 people dead and 2 wounded, and that continues to be the news. I'm not going to dwell any more on that very tragic situation. Prepper tip of the day. For you gentlemen out there, you want to be a hero for the ladies on your team? Stock up on feminine hygiene products, female hygiene products. If you don't have a clue what to get, well, ask. For most men, most of the time, it's kind of a situation where they really don't know what they're doing when it comes to feminine hygiene products. Don't make any assumptions. But once you figure out what should be stocked up, the proper ones, then go ahead and stock up by the case, and you'll be a hero to the ladies in your team. That's your prepper tip of the day. We have patient Wayne at Green Room, my friend Tom Berryhill. Tom is a gentleman who began a quest to become very knowledgeable in the emergency communications beginning more than half a century ago. It later became his career in radio frequency engineering and electronics. And we're going to talk about emergency survival communications this morning, as we always do on Friday morning, the first hour. If you've got a question or comment about emergency survival communications, give us a call at 800-313-9443. Good morning, Tom.
Hi, John. Good morning. How are you doing today?
Well, looking forward to a kind of a sauna-like atmosphere outside. Real temperature around 100 degrees. Felt temperature around 110 because of the high humidity. How about yourself, sir?
Oh, same, John. I had to go inspect a piece of equipment outside and took a large magnifying glass from the house outside, and it immediately fogged over. And I thought, well, that's not going to work, so I picked the unit up and carried it inside where I could do a better inspection. Anything that it was cool, took it outside. Boy, that humidity was way up there, and it would condense the water instantly.
Right.
really.
And typically, the humidity is very highest when the sun first comes up. Tom, yesterday we should have had a drawing on our energy cleaner promotion. I neglected to do so, so I've drawn into the envelope full of the cards, and I've got one here. We've got Tracy from Macedonia, Ohio. Tracy, I will be in contact by email and telephone and let you know that your postcard was drawn and you have the opportunity to get an energy cleaner $70 off retail. And, of course, Tom Berryhill is the sponsor of this promotion, and it's been very helpful for our Republic Broadcasting. Here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. The energy cleaner retails for $285. In this promotion, if your postcard is drawn, you have to submit a postcard, of course. You get the opportunity to buy an energy cleaner for $215. $200 of those dollars go to Republic Broadcasting, and you also get a chance to get a mattress pad for 10% off. So it's something that helps out a lot for Republic Broadcasting and helps the listeners, and it's just been a fun project to work on with you, Tom. You had what might be described as a situation involving lightning earlier this week. Tell us what happened, sir.
Well, I guess, when was it, John? Tuesday, those huge storms.
It was Tuesday,
came
I believe,
through.
Yeah. Yep, Tuesday.
Yeah, and I mean, it was quite a storm. In fact, landline phones and cell phones were beeping and squawking and making siren noises from emergency management. Apparently a tornado had touched down near here, and they were, I mean, it said right on the screen of the phone, immediately seek shelter, go to the basement now, there's a tornado. I don't know if it really hit or not. I just sat in my recliner and wrote it out, didn't worry about it. The winds were high. The storm was really something, and a lightning hit something directly right around here. I don't know exactly where it was. I have not found a tree down or anything, any damage, but it was loud and it was very close, and that surge came in the house, John, and it blew out all the, you know, everybody likes LED light bulbs, but every single LED light bulb blew out. And the incandescent bulbs are still working. Sometimes it'll pop those to a lightning strike, but the LEDs went out. And now I have a gas tube surge suppressor, one of the best, on the service entrance to the house. It did its job, and I checked it, and it seems to be okay. And so it took the brunt of it and discharged that to ground. Those gas tube surge suppressors are the best, but I still lost a few pieces of equipment. A television set, a power supply, and a desktop computer. And I had that cell phone I use plugged into its charger. It blew the charger out. There's no physical damage, but it just doesn't work. The phone itself is acting kind of strange. It keeps trying to reboot, and it seems to be getting better, but I'll probably have to replace that too. It's working kind of. Yeah,
well,
it's crazy.
Well, Tom,
so,
the reason I asked you to tell this story is because even the best protection is still going to fail when it comes to lightning. And now my home, I've got all my electronics plugged into three different power strips in different parts of the house. And Tuesday, we had storm after storm. I unplugged everything four different occasions, spaced out anywhere from 1 to 2 to 3 hours apart. As one storm would come through, I would unplug. As soon as I hear lightning in the distance, I unplug everything. And as storm would pass, I'd plug everything back in, get back to work. I'd hear another storm approaching, unplug it a second time. And that was four different occasions over a period of about 10 or 12 hours. I've had lightning damage also, Tom, and quite frankly, I don't want that or need that in my life, which is why I don't trust anything when it comes to lightning protection other than being unplugged. And when it comes to radios, for you radio operators out there, disconnecting the antenna coax as well, right, Tom?
Oh, that's very true. You know, one of the best write-ups I've seen on lightning protection for radio equipment was published by Motorola, and they would put a condensed version in many of the service manuals for a lot of their equipment, John, and they would show where to put lightning arresters, how to route the transmission lines off of a tower. You do want to, at the base of the tower, the one thing I always remembered was to make a 90-degree bend at the base to where that lightning, if it traveled down the outside of that transmission line, a coaxial transmission line, coaxial cable or coax, it would arc over and hit the grounding at the base of the tower. That was the idea.
Keep going down instead of making that right-hand turn.
Yes, yes, and that was the idea, is that it would just stay, and you could ground those lines also at that point. But the idea was that the lightning surge would go right to the ground rod and not travel along that line. That's the theory, but I've seen so much equipment that was still damaged from that, but not as extensive of a damage. You know, if you didn't have that, it would be much, much worse. In my case here, it could have been a lot. In fact, it would have been much, much worse if I didn't have that gas tube protection at the service entrance. Now, what I do in my shop building, John, I have a sub panel in there, and I keep it disconnected. If I'm not out there, I it's just turned off. There's absolutely no power to any machinery, any equipment, nothing, no lights, nothing. Everything out there is fine. But I have to tell you that many times you have the circuit breakers, you can turn them off. And John, if you turn the breakers off, you think, well, everything's disconnected, I'm safe.
No,
that's
I
not
don't.
Always the case.
No.
That lightning will jump right across that breaker.
No, I don't. unplugging. The only thing I trust is unplugging. Lightning. The power of lightning is a sight to behold, isn't it, Tom?
Yes, it is. You know what I do? You know the thing that worries me more than anything is the well pump. So what I do, I have actually have what's called a motor starter. It's like a magnet. It's like a relay that has its own surge suppressors and it's got what's called heaters in there. It's made to start a motor, but it also interlocks. So when the power goes off, I have to reset that thing, or the well pump doesn't work. But I also have what's called a twist lock connector. It's where you plug into the socket and you give it a little bit of a twist to the right, and it latches in, and it's a secure plug. It won't pull out of the wall. So I use a twist lock connector. I have two of them, and they're spaced apart about 2 feet. And the one that hooks to that motor starter for the well, I plug into that, twist it, and the well is energized. The well pump is actually looks like a short, heavy-duty extension cord, and it's plugged into that, and it gets its power, and it runs. It's great. When there's any chance of a storm, or if I leave for any period of time, I disconnect that well pump. I don't want that thing pumping if there was a plumbing leak or anything like that. I just disconnect it, and I shut off the water line as well, the main water line. But what I do in a bad storm is I twist that thing to the left, pull the plug out, and I have another connector that I plug it into, that all the points in that connector, every little screw connection in there is all connected to a large ground wire, and it goes to a ground rod outside. And I put that twist lock connector from the well pump into that grounded connection there, John, and twist it to the right, and it's locked in, and it's totally grounded. So any stray currents, voltage, anything that gets on that well pump line, it's grounded. And so that thing's well protected. The first thing I did after that lightning strike was check that thing, and it was fine. It's running fine. Because, you know, that's a major, major cost if you get a lightning hit that takes out the well pump. You know, the reason that is because it's such a good ground. If you think about it, that well pump is way down in the water level. In the ground. I mean, it's an excellent ground, and that's where a lot of lightning damage happens. It wants to get to that current wants to flow into that exceptionally good ground, which is your well pump. So that's a good thing to do, is to set it up where you can disconnect them. Now, I don't know if the National Electrical Code allows for that, but I did it anyway. and it's really saved me, I think, several times.
Well, that's good to know. And living in the country, we have things to deal with that people in urban, suburban areas don't when it comes to plumbing and the water supply, don't we?
Oh, we do, yes. And you have to be aware of these situations where lightning damage could really cause some trouble. You know, several years, well, maybe about 10 years ago, John, there was another close hit. I mean, it was very close by, and this time I did figure out where it was. It hit a tree. I live in a very wooded area, so just like you, you know, your area is quite wooded, and those trees will get hit often in storms like this. But it hit a tree about 50 or 100 feet behind the house, and you know what it did? It blew most of the leaves off the tree, and it blew all the bark off that tree. It was a strangest thing I've ever seen, and of course that tree died and it finally fell over and cut it up and used it for firewood. But that's really something to see, is when lightning hits a tree and blows all the bark off of it.
It is absolutely amazing. Well, Tom, I want to do a segue here. Many of our listeners, they are students of the alternative media and pay attention to what's going on in the alternative media. I mentioned this yesterday on my show. Mike Adams, also known as the Health Ranger, his website is naturalnews.com, I believe. Let me see if I can. I don't want to steer people to the wrong place. Let's make sure I got that right. Here we go. Naturalnews.com. He put out what he calls an emergency video earlier this week, and he's talking about something that a number of people, commentators in alternative media, are talking about, which is the prospect of a civil war in the United States of America. What separates what Mike's saying from others, and the reason I'm mentioning Mike Adams, because Mike has a track record of being a straight-up, dependable guy who does good reporting and has excellent sources. And he's quoting, Tom, what he claims to be private trusted sources in government agencies, saying that there will be a contrived civil war, quote-unquote civil disorder in this country soon, probably. I'm prognosticating here before the end of the hot weather, towards the end of September, which basically is 90 days. In that regard, and our theme of emergency communications, I want to encourage people to, first of all, watch Mike Adams' emergency broadcast. If you scroll down the right side of his homepage there, you'll see him in his brown T-shirt at 42 minutes, 26 seconds. The emergency broadcast, leftists attempting to incite civil war. I talked to our mutual friend, Tim Spencer, Tom, and he agrees that within the urban suburban areas of this country, the 20 or 25 large urban suburban areas, that's a high likelihood to happen. So what does it mean for us talking this morning, Friday the 29th of June? It means you need to get your situational awareness up to speed, which includes being able to monitor radio frequencies. If you can monitor police frequencies in your area that are not encrypted, you need to do that. Fire departments are almost never encrypted. Paramedics are almost never encrypted. The street workers, the men and women who do the street repairs and keep things going, they have radios and they're not encrypted. Various news organizations still use radios as opposed to cell phones. So there's lots of ways to monitor what's going on in your area, but you need the equipment, you need the knowledge to be able to do that, don't you, Tom?
Yes, that's very true. And what's really important, if you're buying a scan, well, we'll talk about that after the break.
We have a break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
J.R. Moore here on Friday the 29th of June, visiting with Tom Berryhill. We're talking about emergency survival communications. The call number is 800-313-9443. Okay, Tom, you're about to give us some information about these scanners. Let's jump right in there.
Okay, well of course, in an emergency, a scanner is a very handy tool to have, and you want to pay close attention to the type that you purchase. If you have an older scanner, in many cases it won't even be able to hear the new radios, which are many of them are digital now. But what you want to look for is a scanner that will receive the digital broadcast, because in 2013, it's starting in January of that year, all the two-way radio equipment in our country had to be switched over to narrowband. They split the channels, and they're squeezing more into a smaller space, so they needed the additional channel, so they cut the channel spacing literally in half so they could jam more into a small space. And in the process, many of the law enforcement, the utilities, everybody using two-way radios elected to go to digital modulation. So they're using what's called, most of them are using what's called P25, and that's mainly on law enforcement. They are all quickly going to that, and if they haven't, they will shortly. As they replace equipment, they're putting in P25, which is a special type of digital. There's many different modes of operation, but that is probably the most popular one for law enforcement, and that's what you would want to listen to. John, you've mentioned before about the fire departments. They typically don't encrypt or have digital. I think some of them are, but many of them are still on analog-type systems, and you can pick those up with a regular scanner. But there are scanners available that will automatically determine if it's an analog or a digital signal and then accept that transmission, and you'll hear it, unless it's encrypted. If it's encrypted, well, all bets are off. That's that's going to be a difficult one. So make sure your scanners are capable of digital modulation. That's very important.
It is. It is. Now, you're using terminology that common folk typically don't have a clue what you're talking about. And they're thinking, man, what are these guys talking about? It's Greek to me. Well, it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. If you do a little research, you can find your local ham radio club. Now, if you live in the country like I do, you may end up having to drive an hour or an hour and a half, but I have to drive an hour to go to shopping anyway, so it's not a big deal. And start going to the ham radio club meetings, become a member of the ham radio club, and study for your ham radio license. That would be a good thing to do. Get that ham radio license and hang out with ham radio people. And this terminology will start becoming familiar to you. It will be less of a mystery. And you can get the equipment you need and not be baffled. Right, Tom?
Yes, very true. That's very true. Learn about it now while it's still relatively calm. If we have any difficult circumstances, that's when people will be stressed. And that's not the time to learn how to use the equipment. So don't purchase it thinking you'll put it to use in the future. Buy it now and learn how to use it and be familiar with it so it becomes second nature on how to operate that equipment. The scanners are important. If you're thinking about getting into ham radio, join that club or visit the local ham radio club and learn from the people there. They'll welcome you. And many of these clubs will have training sessions where they teach the basic theory to get you started, and you can get your ham radio license pretty quick. I really think that most people could pick it up in maybe 3 or 4 weeks of self-study, and they'd be ready to take that test and obtain that license. Then they can get on the air and learn as they go, pick up additional skills, meet a lot of interesting people, and then learn from each other. It's an excellent way to learn about communications and electronics in general.
It is. It is. And it doesn't matter how old or young you are. We routinely have 8-year-old boys and girls studying for the test, passing their tests. So don't be intimidated. It's just a matter of spending a little time to get the knowledge to pass the test. And the test is dramatically less complex than it was just a very few years ago, right, Tom?
Yeah, that's correct. And a lot of people abandoned the idea in the past because they didn't want to learn Morse code, which was a requirement. And that was an international requirement, John, and most countries have dropped that. In fact, I think maybe all of them have dropped it by now. Even the Coast Guard dropped Morse code, and they were heavy on that, the Navy and the Coast Guard, and they would monitor the 500 kilohertz channels right below the AM broadcast band. That's where all the emergency traffic would occur. If a vessel was in distress, fire, sinking, taking on water, whatever, they would send out their distress message on 500 kilohertz. And it was actually a requirement that all ships, any maritime vessels, would monitor that frequency. Even when the radio officer was off duty, they still had automatic controls on there that would sound sirens and bells and klaxon horns and all that on the ship to let them know that there was a distress call, and then everybody would pick that call up. So all of that you can learn about, except you don't have to worry about the Morse code anymore. And the test has been dramatically simplified. I mean, it's much simpler than it used to be. And like I said earlier, anybody could pass it if they just applied themselves for less than a month, John. They would pick it up.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought, Tom. We got about an hour break. We'll be right back, everybody.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We're continuing our Energy Cleaner promotion, which began August of 2016. In this promotion, you get to buy an Energy Cleaner $70 off retail and a mattress pad 10% off retail. $200 of the purchase price of the Energy Cleaner goes to Republic Broadcasting. This is a great way to help get Energy Cleaners out to people who need them and have some financial issues to deal with. And, of course, a great way to support Republic Broadcasting. Here's what you do. Send in a postcard. My address is John Moore, P.O. Box 201, Davidsville, Missouri. We pick a postcard every 2 weeks. If your postcard is drawn, you get the chance to buy the Energy Cleaner $70 off retail and 10% off the mattress pads. Put your name and your address, your telephone number and your email address on the postcard, and we wish you the best of luck. Thank you.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend
your life with Extendovite. All right, we are back. Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here on Friday the 29th of June. My website is thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. There are a lot of things at my website, but something that would affect almost all of you is vehicle maintenance and proper lubrication of your vehicles. My Lincoln Town Car now has more than 300,000 miles on it, approaching 400,000 actually. And it's had Amsar lubricants ever since day one. My Kawasaki 1600cc motorcycle has had Amsar lubricants since day one. My wife's car has had Amsar lubricants since day one. I know what works, and Amsar is what works. I save money and get better lubrication than you do because I use Amsar lubricants. There's a logo on the bottom, on the right-hand side of my homepage for Amsar. If you want to save money, save your vehicle, get superior lubrication, Amsar products is what you need to check out. Also on our website, of course, you'll find Energy Cleaner for sale. This is my home business. When you place your order for your Energy Cleaner because you're tired of being tired, because you're tired of the arthritis pain you've got, the joint pain, the back pain, and you go ahead and place your order. You do that at my website at thelibertyman.com. The Energy Cleaner is only $285 shipping included. If you're a new listener and you don't have a clue I'm talking about, you can read up the patent application information, the great testimonials from people like Steve Whitman, more than halfway through from Steve's latest novel, by the way, and make your decision about your energy cleaner, your mattress pad to go with it, and place your order there at my website using PayPal, MasterCard, Visa, keeping in mind the following. With the energy cleaner, you get a 90-day money-back guarantee, so you're risking nothing when you buy your energy cleaner. You simply aren't. You also can call my toll-free order line 24 hours a day. That's 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Visiting with Tom Berryhill, we're talking about emergency survival communications. And, Tom, we got a caller here. We got John in North Carolina. Good morning, John.
More. How are you doing this morning?
Really good. What can we help you with?
You guys were talking about police scanners a few minutes ago, and I just called in to add that there's a device that you can add to a laptop called a RTL-SDR, which is a software-defined radio, and it costs about $20, maybe $30, and they will function as a very capable police scanner.
What's the name of that device again, John?
It's called an RTL. RTL stands for Real Tech. That's a brand name, of course. And the rest of it is TAC SDR, which is Software Defined Radio. And you can pick them up on Amazon for $20 or $30. And it takes a little software, and you got to have a little bit of computer savvy to use them. But I have two of them, and I track two digital DMR P25 systems in New Bern, North Carolina. I get all the city, police, fire, everything.
That's great. That's a great heads up. I wasn't aware this device even existed. How about you, Tom?
Oh, no. Yeah, those are out there, John. They do work, and they can work quite well. And I think they'll work the best in a smaller non-congested area. I don't know if I'd trust one of those things in New York City or Chicago where the RF environment is through the roof. They don't have the front-end selectivity that you'd have on a higher-grade radio, but they do work. They're inexpensive. And for $20 or so, it's not a bad idea to just try one out and see how it works in your area. If it doesn't do the job, you can go to something better. But they are a viable way to go. It's just that they're not the best in a high RF environment. That's the only downside.
Okay. Well, John, we appreciate the heads up. Anything else?
I'd just like to say that there are more expensive SDR radios that do have good front end sensitivity and selectivity. And they have a great deal of bandwidth. You know, you can get some that have about 10 megahertz of bandwidth, and again, you can capture everything.
All right. Well, it's good to know. John, we appreciate the call. Your call number is 800-313-9443. In addition, many police agencies are connected to the Internet, and their broadcasts are freely available on the Internet. You don't need anything special to listen. You just go to the service that provides that service. That's how I was monitoring the events during the Ferguson riots in that manner, Tom, via the Internet.
Yes, John, and those websites are out there, and they work quite well. They really do, and that's a way to monitor the police transmissions, fire, and all that with zero investment other than just going to that website and listening. The only problem is you have to drag the computer along with you. Now, you could probably use it with a smartphone, but what if the whole infrastructure's down? And so what we usually focus on is point-to-point communications, your radio to the next guy's radio and so on. That is something you can rely on in a difficult situation. We don't know what would happen to the cellular network, and, you know, they have different service levels on there. The government agencies would have a first priority, and their cell phones would work, whereas, John Q. Public would be cut off. You might
That's
have
right.
a signal. You might have a signal, but your phone is not going to work. You can't send or receive calls. So that's something to keep in mind.
One more
thing I want to explain about, to people about the caller talking about the software-defined radios. What those basically are is an analog-to-digital converter. They take the entire RF spectrum. I mean, John, some of those things start way down at the below the AM broadcast band in the long-wave spectrum, all the way up through shortwave and into the VHF and UHF bands. Now, they usually take it in slices. They don't do it all in one swipe. But what that thing basically is an analog-to-digital converter, and it just takes that RF spectrum as an analog signal, puts it into a digital format that the computer can handle, and then the software program in your computer actually takes it all apart and turns it back into audio that you can hear. But you can also record the whole spectrum. I mean, it's amazing. I have a couple of software-defined radios, and they do work quite well. But I have had problems in a high RF environment. In fact, I've tested them and used an HT close to it that would just wipe the thing out. But if I used regular two-way equipment, it didn't phase it. It was fine. So it is a good way to go. And, of course, the websites where you can listen to these emergency transmissions, that's a good way to go, too. But I really feel that the actual equipment, maybe a real high-quality scanner, a real good scanner, and if you're a ham operator, maybe some VHF and UHF equipment. You want to pay attention to what's going on in your local area, and that's where that scanner and the ham equipment will really help out. And you want something that would allow you to communicate in your local area, but you may also want to look into HF equipment to where that would put you on the shortwave bands, and you'd be able to talk and listen on a regional basis and an international basis. And if you do get the next higher, when you start out with ham radio with a technician license, that's the lowest class that you can come in and learn as you go. It's an easy entryway into ham radio, and then you can advance from there. I've always explained that you come in as an apprentice, and then you learn as you go, getting on the air, messing with the equipment, learning how it works, meeting other people, and sharing ideas and learning from each other. Then you get your general class license, and you can get on the high frequency bands, which is a shortwave spectrum, and that's where you can talk worldwide. Now, there's no cell phone infrastructure. There's no tower down the street that picks up your signal and relays it to the next point. No. Your transmitter and your receiver, your transceiver, that is the infrastructure. It's right there in front of you. You're connected. It's what you're operating, and it goes out to the antenna, and it sends out a ground wave for local communications, or it bounces off the ionosphere back to ground, maybe several hops to get you across the country or around the world. And then the other side of the infrastructure is the station you're talking to. So everybody can communicate without a telephone landline, without a cell phone system. It's the best way to go, and that of course is how the police radio systems work too. They don't rely on the cell infrastructure. It's really nice when it's working, but it'll be really bad news if it goes down.
Absolutely. We got another caller on hold here. We got Michael in New York. Good morning, Michael.
Yes. Good morning, gentlemen. First, for the having a one of the powerful shortwave ham radios that you're recommending, what's the power requirements? So in a dire circumstance, again, we, you know, grids down and that kind of thing, we have to make sure we have enough electricity to make that unit operate. So how much, what's the particular wattage amperage would be required to run them? And number two, under those kind of dire circumstances, and you need a license to, unfortunately, operate one, is there any way for them then to prevent us from utilizing that technology under such dire conditions?
Well, first of all, let's talk about the power requirements. On one of my favorite radios for portable use out in the field, under emergency conditions is the Yaesu FT817. That's a 5-watt radio. It's only 5 watts, but it does the shortwave spectrum, the VHF and UHF spectrum. You can listen to FM radio stations with it. You can listen to shortwave broadcasts with it. It takes maybe about a half amp. I'm trying to go from memory here. I don't have the specs in front of me. But on receive, it takes about a half amp. And maybe if you have it on full power output, it would take maybe 1.5 or 2 amps on transmit. You're always going to use the most power, Michael, when you transmit on these radios. And the radios that use the most current, that will use up your battery supply or load your power supply to the max, are FM radios, the VHF and UHF systems, because when you push that transmit button, it's putting out full power until you let go of it. And that's whether you're talking into the microphone or not. Now, if you're on the HF bands, if you're using Morse code, it only takes a lot of power when you push the telegraph key. If you're using single sideband with a microphone, it only takes a lot of power from that battery or your power supply as you speak. And a typical ham radio system that you would use on the HF bands and VHF for that matter would be maybe 100 watts maximum. Now, you can't get amplifiers, and ham operators are allowed to have 1.5 kilowatts or 1,500 watts output. So you're limited to that, and that is a lot of power and will carry your signal quite a ways. But it does take quite a bit to run those amplifiers. The typical ham operator will operate at 100 watts, and you can do just about anything you want with 100 watts. In fact, the FCC rules say that you should reduce your power to the minimum amount necessary to maintain communications. And using these lower power radios, 5 watts or so, I've talked all over the world with that with no troubles at all. I mean, it does take a little bit more operating skill, but you can get by with some batteries for a long time. And if, let's just say, in an all-out emergency, lights out, it's hitting the fan, you could easily set up a marine battery, deep cycle, marine type lead acid battery with pick up some solar cells. There's some interesting solar panels available nowadays that are flexible and they roll up and you can keep them in a backpack. So you could lay something like that out on the ground and hook it to the battery to keep it charged up, and it would continue to charge that battery even while you're receiving. Now, the only time you're going to take a lot of current would be during transmissions, and that's going to load the battery a little bit, but that solar panel will charge it back up again, or you could have some jumper cables to charge it off of a nearby vehicle. There's all types of ways you could do this, but you're not going to use a lot of battery power and receive. Now, to answer your question about utilizing the equipment without a license, well, the rules do kind of say you can't really do that without a license, but under emergency conditions, well, they say you can. I've not studied that closely, but I know for a fact that if somebody unlicensed came on the ham radio frequencies, those guys would, well, basically they'd rip them a new one. The ham operators police their own frequencies. They're very, very touchy about somebody coming on there and bootlegging, as they call it. They would call it a bootlegger. And you can spot them. I mean, I've heard them on there before. On the 10-meter band, you'll hear the Mexican truckers. They buy the ham units, and they want a clearer frequency, so they just moved right into the low part of the 10-meter ham band. And it's what do you do? You know, a lot of the ham guys try to run them out of there, but it's not always effective. And so a lot of that is going on.
And under, real dire circumstances, EMPs, and something, real drastic, is there some way that the transmission ability to get your signal to traverse a great distance would be inhibited under such type of conditions?
Well, with a bad EMP hit, a lot of this equipment would be rendered useless. I mean, it would just be junk until it could be repaired, if it could be repaired. The problem with the newer radio equipment, And as we talked about earlier, these software-defined radios, they're all operating off of microprocessors and microcontrollers. And these things are programmed. They have a flash memory or an EEPROM-type memory. And when those chips get popped, unless you have the source code and the spare chips, you can't repair it. A lot of that stuff's going to be junk under those conditions. And this is where it's very wise to have some older tube-type radios on standby, maybe in storage, and they need to be protected as well because some of those components could even be damaged, but much less likely than the solid-state equipment. I do keep some tube equipment here. In fact, some of my favorite ham radio equipment is the older tube equipment, and it will be reliable under those conditions.
Hold that thought, Tom. We got a break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality. There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Okay, it looks like we're back. We didn't have any bumper music. Well, Tom, it's been a fascinating hour here. We're down to about the last 3 minutes. Is Michael gone? Are you still there, Michael?
Yes, I am, John, and I want to thank you, gentlemen, for the excellent information and definitely something I have to look into. It's worth having that kind of gear around. Thanks again, guys. You have a great day.
Absolutely. Well, be sure to protect that equipment from EMP, and that's something we talk about frequently, isn't it, Tom?
Yes, it is, John. And, you know, with Michael's comments on this and bringing up EMP, it is very important to keep some type of a shortwave receiver on hand. It wouldn't be a bad idea to maybe purchase an older tube type of unit. I've seen them at flea markets and resale shops for $20-$25, an older Helicrafters type or something. Now, they're not going to run off of a battery. You would need an inverter or a generator, but if you're already running something like that to keep your house going because the grid's down, phones are out, things like that, that shortwave receiver, in addition to a scanner for your local communications, that shortwave receiver would allow you to pick up broadcasts on the international shortwave bands from outside the country. Sometimes you can learn more about what's going on from a foreign broadcast than you can in your own country. So you'd be able to hear transmissions from Europe, South America, and they may be reporting on what's going on in the States if we did have a total outage like that. So it would be a very, very handy thing to have around. And, of course, if it's tube type, it could be protected. Or a standard solid-state shortwave receiver, which you would maybe already have on hand, but keep it well protected so it's not damaged. With EMP, John, it's real important to look at the magnetic component of that blast, as well as the electrostatic or electrical field. The magnetic component could maybe do more damage than anything. So I say keep your equipment, a galvanized trash can with another can inside of that. Two metal, and they have to be ferrous metal, which would be like steel. So a galvanized trash can is a really good way to go, and another smaller one inside of that may be insulated from the outer can by a cardboard box or something, a shipping blanket, an old quilt, anything to keep the two isolated so there's no current flow. See, what happens when that electrical field cuts through a large electrical field, it will induce currents, and that's where the outer trash can could absorb some of that, and the inner one would then protect you all the more. It would attenuate it down to a very low level and probably never even hurt the equipment that is protecting. So those are some low-budget ways to protect that sensitive equipment and have it available for
So aluminum won't work. Time. Aluminum won't stop the EMP signal from getting to your
equipment. No, John, aluminum will work quite well, but it will not shield you much from the magnetic component. Because I really feel that the magnetic side of things, you see, when you put a conductor, when it cuts through or sweeps through, this would be your containers would be stationary, of course, but as that electrical field comes swishing through there and cutting through that area, it's going to induce currents in anything metal. And a magnet will go right through aluminum. So you want to use ferrous metal, which is steel.
All right. Real good. Tom, thank you, sir. We need to talk privately soon. Appreciate it.
Thank you, John.
Okay. Top of the hour break, we'll be back with Dr. Phil Myers, and we're going to talk about health-related matters. Stay tuned.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.